Let's make this night last forever. By The Yarn Maid's Tale. Read by Miss Marauder. As far as first dates go, this is by far the worst he's ever had, and he doesn't expect it to get any better. Judging by the weary looks the waitstaff and other patrons are giving him, nobody else in the restaurant expects it to either. Howie taps his foot against the plush carpeting beneath the table as his gaze flickers back and forth between his watch, the front door, and the fresh basket of bread his server has just hesitantly placed at the center of the table. He takes a slice of bread, slathering it with butter as though he's trying to soothe the swell of embarrassment and mortification forming in his chest with carbs. His server catches his eye from across the room, and he watches as she makes quick eye contact with the host before someone he presumes is the manager joins their discussion. They've already taken pity on him several times this evening, and something about the way they're chatting tells him he's on his last breadbasket. Which he gets. He's been taking up a table for about an hour, and there's a cluster of people waiting around the host's podium in the foyer. If he were them, he'd be on his last breadbasket too. Muttering a curse under his breath, he tries to think of another plea he can use to convince them to let him stay just a little longer, because it's clear that she's just running late, and she's going to walk through those doors at any moment. He takes his phone out of his pocket, only to slide it back in. He'd already sent her a polite, or what he had hoped was polite, text asking where she was, and it had been at least 15 minutes since with no reply. While he has no qualms about double texting, there's this tiny bubble of anxiety and fear that tells him that there's no use, as she's obviously not coming. That he's been stood up on a date. He'd feel worse about it if there was something to feel worse about, but it's just another mishap in his seemingly ever-growing list of dating mishaps. He's had bad dates before, bad relationships, and some relationships that just withered and waned until they may as well have been strangers just occupying the same house, but he's never actually been stood up before. He just usually gets to see them first, before things go south. As the manager makes his way across the dining room, Howie prepares his concession speech, so he can tuck his tail between his legs and just go home, curl up in a ball, and pretend that none of this ever even happened. Or go to the bar across the street and get so incredibly wasted that none of this may as well have ever happened. He'll decide when he gets to the street. "Oh my God, I'm so sorry," someone says, and he lifts his eyes to look at the woman standing at the corner of his table. She's a couple inches shorter than he is, from what he can tell, and wearing a cream-colored cardigan over a navy blue halter dress that falls just past her knees. His gaze meets hers, and he's about to ask the very obvious question of, "What the hell?" when she rolls her eyes. "Just go along with it," she implores between her teeth, smiling sunnily at him until what she's been doing clicks in his brain and he stands. He's still looking at her a little dumbfounded before he smiles and pulls her into a hug. "Ugh, I don't know why I take the freeway," she complains as she settles into the seat across from him, plucks a roll from the basket and a butter knife from the place setting in front of her. "Traffic must have been terrible," he says agreeably, just as the manager reaches his table. "Like you wouldn't believe," she groans, tilting her head to look up at the manager. "And I am so, so sorry I'm late. I really appreciate you letting us keep the table." As she apologizes profusely to the manager, who seems at least a little more receptive now that his date has joined him, he finally gets a good look at the woman who's just swooped into his life. She's smiling brightly as she asks for a bottle of wine whose name he can't pronounce. Gathering her chocolate brown curls over her shoulder as she bats the prettiest brown eyes he's ever seen at the manager before he leaves. As he walks away, she opens the menu in front of her, scrutinizing the options with a manicured finger. His breath catches in his chest a bit, and he clears his throat to get the feeling to go away. Hi, he says, with a little wave of his hand. Hi, I'm really sorry for barging in on... She pauses to gesture towards the half-eaten basket of bread and the small pile of butter packets he's accumulated. Whatever it was you had going on here, but I was just waiting for my table, and you looked super sad. Yeah, he says slowly. My date stood me up, but I doubt that escaped your attention. She shakes her head and tuts sympathetically. No, it didn't. Happens to the best of us, I suppose, he winces. But I appreciate you sitting down with me. Maddie, she says, as she sets the menu aside and folds her hands together on the table. What's your name? Howard, he replies. But people call me Howie, and my friends call me Chimney. Her eyebrow shoots up. I'm sure there's a story there. Howie smiles, nods, and is about to say something along the lines of, maybe I'll tell it to you someday. When he realizes he, in all likelihood, won't. Because this isn't a date. Not in the way it was supposed to be. She's just a friendly stranger helping him feel not so pitiful about himself, and he'll probably never see her again the second the bill is settled and she walks out the door. Instead of promising to tell her a story he'll never get the chance to, he tries to turn to small talk. You sure I'm not keeping you from something? He inquires, casually glancing around the restaurant as if he's going to find someone waiting for her. Nope, she assures. I was just out to celebrate a personal victory, is all. And what personal victory are we celebrating? I just earned my Master's of Science in Nursing, Maddie informs him, as the server returns with their wine and takes their orders. He can feel the pride radiating off of her as she tells him more about it, how she got into nursing and what it means to her. She tells him about the move from Pennsylvania, starting over fresh in a new city, with a new degree across the country. He tells her about growing up in Los Angeles, how he knows the city like the back of his hand, and gives her all the secret hidden gems the city has to offer. He tells her about being a paramedic and a firefighter, about how he realized it was the career for him after a bar fire years ago. And when he peppers in a couple of tales about the heroic measures he's taken on the job, they don't feel like just a means to an end to impress her. They talk and they talk until their food arrives and throughout their meal. Simple, light conversation that meanders from books to movies to music. And the longer they talk, the more he feels this bubble of warmth blossoming in his chest that replaces the pit of embarrassment that was settling into his stomach earlier. She's laughing at his jokes that no one else he tells seems to get. And the more time goes on, the more he wants to see her again after tonight. And by the time dessert rolls around, he forgets he was ever waiting on someone else in the first place. Come on. She nudges him with her elbow, where her arm is looped with his as they walk down the sidewalk toward her car. Give me the cheesiest pickup line you've used on a girl that worked. I don't know, you may just fall in love with me, and then what would you do? He teases with a laugh, and he doesn't have to see her face to know she's rolling her eyes, because she's jabbing him in the side with her elbow again. Only one way to find out, I suppose, she replies, coming to a stop beside a blue sedan. All right then, shoot. Do you believe in love at first sight? He asks, pausing for dramatic effect before continuing. Or should I walk by again? She tosses her head back as she laughs, like it's the best joke he's told all night. As she does, he finds himself laughing too. The joke is silly and probably not all that funny, but there's something magnetic about her. A feeling he wants to chase and chase and chase. Until his lungs run out of breath and his legs buckle beneath him. "And that worked?" she manages to ask through her laughter, wiping the tears from her eyes. "I can't believe that actually worked on a human person." "Hey now, you said cheesiest, you didn't say best," he points out. "But okay, if you're such an incorrigible flirt, why don't you show me how it's done?" Oh, you want me to flirt with you?" Maddie gasps in mock surprise, pressing a hand to her chest. She's looking at him with a honey-sweet gleam in her eye. "I'm researching important dates in history. Do you want to be mine?" And yeah, he really, really does. "Can I be honest with you?" He swallows as he steps closer, instead of answering. The air between them shifting from the carefree flirting to something deeper, more serious. This has been an incredible evening, born out of something that was so shitty he could barely believe his luck. It almost feels like a movie, and not his real life. Just a couple of hours ago, she was a stranger to him. And now? Well, he hardly wants her to remain a stranger. He can't recall the last time he'd been on a date that went so well, his cheeks hurt from smiling and his belly ached from laughing. And he's not going to let her walk away without at least trying to see her again. "I would prefer it," Maddie answers, tucking a stray lock of hair behind her ear as she reclines back against the door of her car. "I really want to kiss you right now," he states, letting his admission hang in the air as he tilts forward. They're so close right now, so tantalizingly close that all he would have to do is lean in and... "Just so you know, I don't tend to kiss guys on the first date." She ducks her head to whisper against the shell of his ear, and the shiver that runs down his spine at the sensation, well, that's just a consequence of the wind. Maddie has one hand resting gingerly on his chest, splayed out over the thin fabric of his sweater. For a moment, he worries she may feel his heartbeat through it. The thump against his ribcage. The exhilaration from the proximity of her. For a moment, he doesn't care. He can catch the florals of her perfume on the cool evening breeze. Feel the tickle of her hair brushing past his cheek as she presses her lips to it. She pulls back to meet his eyes, holding his gaze. "Guess we'll just have to go on a second one then," he replies. He expects her to break his gaze, pull further away. Give him some kind of hint to pull back himself. Tell him that this was a one-night thing, that there will be no second dates. And if she says that, he thinks it might just break his heart. But instead of pulling away, she's curling her fingers into the front of his sweater and pulling him back in. "I'd like that," she whispers, low and quiet between them. "But for now, I think I'd also like to make an exception." At the moment she closes the gap between them, slotting her lips against his, he's never been more thankful to have been stood up in his life. And as one hand finds its place on her hip, while the other tangles in her hair, he thinks that this may have been the best first date he's ever had. The end.